So basically what I'm going to do here is talk about Shofar a little bit. Then Rosh Hashanah. Malchus, Chinuch, and Shofar, perhaps a little bit. I guess we'll see how the course goes. But I don't really plan on saying many chidushim, more just an overview of important themes and ideas about Rosh Hashanah, which perhaps some of them you're familiar with, perhaps some of them you're not familiar with, but I think they're always good to review anyways, you know, given that we're going to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so I hope the phone is decent. If anyone is having a hard time hearing me, you can let me know. Okay. So, starting with the Pasuk. Okay, Pasuk is in Parshas Amor. Okay, Pasuk is in Parshas Amor. At Vayikra Chaf Gimel. Okay. Vaydabar Shem Moshe Leimar. Dabar El Bnei Yisrael Leimar. Vachodesh Yashvi Bechel Achodesh. So on the seventh month, the first of the day, right, the first of Tishrei. Yielachem Shabbason Yashvi for your day of rest. Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh. So Zichron Teruah, a remembrance or something to that effect of Teruah, which I guess literally means like a cry. A Teruah, we know it's a Teruah. Mikra Kodesh, it's a day which is called Kodesh. Okay, that's a standard term. So Zichron Teruah. Okay, Zichron Teruah. What's interesting is that it doesn't say here, it says elsewhere, I think in Pentecost, Yom Teruah. Because okay, that's what you would expect it to say. It should be the day of Teruah. What does it mean, Zichron Teruah? A remembrance of Teruah. Zichron can mean mentioning of Teruah. Just say Yom Teruah. Okay, and it does say that elsewhere. So Yom Teruah, Yom Teruah Yalachem. Okay, what's the idea, what's pshat in Zichron Teruah? Okay, the remembrance of Teruah. So Rashi says, Zichron Psukei Zichronos Upsukei Shofros. So what does that mean, Zichron? What does the word Zichron mean there? Zichron Psukei Zichronos Upsukei Shofros. So it's not clear. Does Zichron mean... It could say two things. Zichron sometimes can mean to mention. Sometimes can mean to remember. Right? So it says the remembrance or the mentioning of the psukim regarding Zichronos and the psukim regarding Shofros. Okay? So what's missing?
Shofros.
What? Shofros. Well, it has Shofros. Psukim Zichronos or Psukim Shofros?
No.
Malchios. Right? So, if you know, in Rosh Hashanah, we have normal brachos, normal tefillah, but we add Malchus, Chinuch, and Shofros. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? So, Rashi says, it means Zichron Psukei Zichronos and Psukei Shofros. It's like a mentioning or remembering of the Psukim of Zichronos and the Psukim of Shofros. So, we just noticed, the Ramban notices, it says, it leaves out Malchus. There's three added brachos we put in on Rosh Hashanah. We put in Malchus, which talks about God as the king, the Melech. Then we talk about Chronos, which talks about, I guess, God as all-knowing, and us being known or remembered by God, which we'll talk about. And then we talk about Shofros. We're talking about Shofros, which is the Shofar, which is blown in Har Sinai, the Shofar, which is will be blown like in Lasilavo, as Yom Mashiach. So they're Psukim, and we there's a Bracha, right, in the added section, and also there are three separate Brachos, one for each of these themes. And in the themes, we talk about the theme, and then we recite psukim, 10 psukim for each of them to support them, or psukim in Tanakh, where they're found. 3 from Torah, 3 from Neviim, Ksuvim, 3 from Neviim, then another one from Torah, altogether 10 psukim. So Rashi noticeably leaves it out, Malchios. It says, Zichron psukei zichronos psukei shofros. He's explaining why it says Zichron Teruah, remembrance of Teruah. So he says, because it's a remembering or mentioning of psukim zichronos and psukim shofros. Okay, he doesn't say anything about Malchus. And then he continues, Lizkar Lachem Akedas Yitzchak. Also to remind you of, or to remember for you, the Akedah for Klal Yisrael, Akedas Yitzchak, Shekar of Tachtav Ayel. That it was brought in his stead a ram, an ayel. Because our shofar is a ram's horn, or it's better to be a ram's horn. So a ram's horn brings to mind the ram, which after the Akedah, Avraham, you know, he decided, and Hashem told him not to slaughter Yitzchak. He says, well, I'll bring the carbine, you know, he got the aisle instead. So it reminds us of that. So since the Rashi is explaining that the Zichron Teruah is like a remembering of the, or mentioning of the Pesukim of the Zichronos and Shofros to remember for us like this Yitzchak. Okay? That's what Rashi says. So the Ramban, he doesn't like it. He basically has one critique, is that why is Rashi leave Amalchias? Why is Rashi leave Amalchias? Okay? Because that's what you should mention, Hashem Olam. Okay? And it's true, it doesn't say Malchias here in the Pasuk. Zichron, you could say Zichron, it's not true, it could be a Shofros. But still, he says the whole thing anyways, the Pasuk doesn't really mean that. Because the Pasuk, he really says the Malchias comes in Shofros, he says it's only the Rabbanah. He said to Gemara, they tried to prove it's only the Rabbanah. So it doesn't mean that, the Pasuk. So basically, he says the Rashi should have mentioned all that. But then he learns that Zichronos means, Zichron Shua just means, it means it's the day of Shua. It just means that through the Trua we have Zikaron Lefnei Hashem. So Zichron Trua, Raman says, means that it's a day of Trua, but it's a day the Trua is not just a regular mitzvah, but the Trua brings about a Zichron. It brings out that we are remembered positively. We go down and positively before God. So that's he's saying is Zichron Trua. That is that God, it's like God remembers us. That it's a Trua which brings about Zichron. That's a Zichron Shua. But what I want to focus more on is Rashi. Okay, I mean, it's interesting. Why does Shua, how does Shua do that? I mean, it would be nice if we could understand how that works. How does Shua, this mitzvah, give us some sort of good state before God? It seems like an important mitzvah. But more what I want to focus on is Rashi. And Rashi says he learns that, see, according to Ramban, Zichron means that God remembers us. Okay, which is a mashal. It doesn't mean God forgets and remembers, but it means it's like we exist in a certain positive state before God on the Yom HaDin. Okay, which we can talk about some more, but it means that we're positively, you know, judged on this day, and there's an idea of that's the idea that we're remembered positively. But Rashi is not learning that it's like God remembering. It sounds like it's we remembering. Zichron Shua means like we mention and remember the Pesukim of the Zichronos and Shofros, and we remember that Kedus Yitzchak. Okay, and I think that that an important idea which is saying is that shofar, and this is what I want to, as an introduction to what we're going to discuss, shofar is not just a regular mitzvah. Okay, it's not just a technical performance where you blow shofar, you hear shofar, and you yotze. Okay, but there's an idea of zichron shua, like it's a remembering in shua. And there's you mentioned psukim in Shua. There are psukim tied in with the mitzvah of Shua. There are ideas. We talk about it. We talk about the psukim. We say Malchias on Shabbos is the whole tefillah. It's incorporated into the whole themes of the day, the tefillahs of the day. And Shua is really a mitzvah that shofar is really a mitzvah that talks to us and should convey to us important ideas about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and it's tied in. We'll see many ideas which are conveyed in Shofar. Okay, many ideas which are conveyed in Shofar, and they're all, and I think they're all part and parcel of why, according to the Ramban, it brings about us our favorable judgment, or our favorable existence before God, because of the fact that the mitzvah Shofar is so constructed that it contains many ideas. Okay, so what I'd like to do is to go through some of the ideas, and I think the ideas could kind of be, you know, segmented, or so, you know, but to go through them systematically through the themes of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros. So I'll talk a little bit about each of the themes, Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, and in doing so, tying it to the mitzvah of Shofar. Okay? Any questions so far or anything? Okay, so what are ideas? What ideas are contained in Shofar? So what about Malchias? Let's start with Malchias. Okay, so what is Malchias? What is Malchias? And what do we... It's a tefillah, right? So what are we asking for? What's the idea of Malchias, and what are we asking for in Malchias? This is someone. The thing is that it's a day of Shua. A day of Shua means a day where we do the mitzvah of Shua. But Zichron Shua means that the Shua is there to bring about a remembrance, to bring about an internal state of mind by the Shua. Namely, the internal state of mind, which is through the Pesukim, that we don't just blow Shofar. We mention the Pesukim about Shofar, Zichronos and Shofros. We think about it, okay, there's Yitzchak. So there's like, it's tied in with ideas. That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's Rashi, a Zichron.
So what did Rashi
say? Rashi says, he says, Zichron Psuke Zichronos and Psuke Shofros. Lizkar lachem akedas yitzchak shekar tachtavayim.
Okay,
so that's what I'm saying. It's like he's tying it into different things which we mention and we remember. Okay? Okay, any other questions? Okay. So what's the idea of Malchios? We're just like, what is Malchios? What are we asking for in Malchios? What is the ideas about Malchios? Yeah? Yes?
God is king and he's in charge.
Okay.
Kings aren't really judged favorably. Kind of tend to kill more often. Yes, it's got to be.
Okay, so that's interesting. I mean, it's very interesting is that in Malchios, we our request. So the one thing we talk about God is the Malach, right? He's the king over all and all that stuff. But then what do we request? What do we want from Malchios? So you'd think we want judgment, but it's not really true.
That all the nations of the world should recognize Hashem as the king.
Right, exactly. Alkin Kavlcha, we hope, Leros Meir Bistoris Zechos, that and so on and so forth. You could think through Alkin Kavlcha. But it basically means we're requesting that all the nations of the world, Yakir Viedu, Kol Yishvei Sevel, everyone should recognize, Kilchas Shechra, Kol Bech, Shechra, Kol Hashem, that everyone will turn to God. Yikablu Kulam Esol Machusecha, everyone will accept your reign, Simul Chaleim, Heir Alam Vod, right, and you'll reign over them forever. So it's a focus on the idea that God really is the king of the world. He's the creator of the world. He's in charge of the world. And we review that idea that he is the Melech. But we request that Malchus will be exhibited or recognized by the world. The Malchus, we're not even asking for ourselves. Nothing about ourselves. It's interesting. What's interesting is that on Rosh Hashanah, there's, being that it's Yom HaDin, there's much less than you would want. About yourself and about saying that we should get good stuff. There's a lot of focus talking about God and the Ma'aseh Hashem and all different praises of God and what the Malachim say about God and all different things like that. And even all the stuff about like Nisana Tokef is where we talk about the things which are going to happen and we're all judged. That's not even part of the technical text of the Anshei Gnas Gedolah setup. That's like a later added piyut. So it's there, but it's not the primary idea of Hashem.
But isn't the concept of asking that the nations of the world should recognize Hashem's mouth, isn't that indirectly connected to Din? Because what that's saying is if Hashem judges so that we deserve punishment, then the punishment could come through the nations of the world, and that's why it's so important that, it's so clear, at least from what we see going around in the world today,
mm-hmm.
that the nations that are surrounding Israel
mm-hmm.
do not recognize that
right.
that Hashem is the,
right.
the Melech over them, and they want to destroy
mm-hmm.
us.
Right, that's so. True. But it's true, but still we're not asking God kill all the enemies. I mean, that might be implicit in everyone recognizing God, but it's not a tefillah that we're in a lot of pain and suffering and please get rid of our enemies. It's a tefillah that we recognize the idea of Malchus Hashem,
right.
and it's true, and we're drawn to that idea of truth, and we want the world at large to recognize that idea, because it's true. Now, it will be a better world for us and all that, but that's not the focus. The focus is on because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big idea in Rosh Hashanah, is a focus on ideas. And even though it's Yom HaDin, the Torah holds the way that we have a successful din is by focusing not on our own personal din. In a certain sense, we focus on high ideas, which then brings to mind. It brings to mind the idea of God as the king and the ruler of the world. Then it brings to mind the idea of God and all-knowing. It brings to mind the idea of God as revelation, the fact that he relates to man and he gave our Sinai. So it's like the focus of the day, we're talking about all kinds of abstract, high ideas, and that's how we get a good day. You don't just get
then
a good day by saying, give me stuff.
Why would we ask that other nations should recognize Hashem as king? Why don't we sit and talk about how we should be better at recognizing Hashem as king?
Okay, good question. So what do you guys think? Why are we asking about that other nations to recognize God?
It could lead to us. Now, if you think about it, the society around us affects us a lot.
Right.
So if they find truth, then
mm-hmm.
it would be a lot easier
right.
for us to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As opposed to what? What they do have the opposite, where, the focus isn't on the ideas?
What they? No, I would think as opposed to, I mean, I haven't really studied other religions or whatever, but I would think as opposed to the way you'd think, a day of judgment is you sit there all day long and pray to God that please give me good this and good that and good that and
right.
I did this and I did that and all these things. And like on Yom Kippur is Yom Kapara and we're doing tshuva and all that, but like on Rosh Hashanah, the personal element is very out of it, you know, and the big highlight in shul of Nisan HaTokef and all that, that's surprising to know, is like a later addition. It's not, the focus is really on God and ideas and concepts and this, about lofty ideas removed
right.
from the
Yom
self.
Yom Kippur is like that too, right?
Yes, but it's a little more about the self because it's tshuva and, you know, it's like a vidoy about chatam and, you know, like, that's like a part of the, but also that's the case. That's the way of Torah in general,
right,
but
right,
it's true, but that's a chiddush. I mean, we may think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Why? What else is it going to be about? But you realize that's an innovation. That's
right.
a major idea that we go into Yom HaDin and we think, oh, this is, my life is on the line here. I got to start asking about do this for me, do that for me, do this for me. And you say, no. The way you want to get the highest din is to think about ideas of God, to think about Matthias, Mesochonos, think about Shofros, on Yom Kippurim, to think about other ideas about the Shem Hashem and Achdus Hashem. And it's the root of the Torah is that the way we're favorable in din is not by focusing on the self. The self comes in, and it's Yom HaDin, and there is mention of it, and we're looking for Zikaron. Even Zichronos, which we're asking that God should remember us and we should be judged favorably, is the Ata Zocher. I mean, the Tefillah is talking about how God knows this and God remembers that, and God, it's talking about God's omniscience and his all-knowing, and we're focusing on the fact that God is all-knowing and relates to the world and that kind of thing. So it's there's like a subtle where yeah, the reason we're it's Yom Zikaron, we're looking for Zikaron to be favorably judged before God, but that's not the emphasis is kind of shifted away from that towards higher ideas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we didn't answer your question. Right, Al's question is, so why are we talking about the world at large recognizing God? Why don't we just talk about us recognizing God, right?
Mm.
Right? So, yeah.
Maybe it's because when something truly resonates within you as being true, there's like naturally a motivation that you want to share, you want to have others acknowledge that and recognize it also.
Right.
So it's only when you have that kind of like need for other people to acknowledge it that would be demonstrative of your own like
mm-hmm.
volition that that's true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why is that a natural thing?
Why is it natural?
Like I'm saying, so you have an idea. Why is it like? I mean, I hear it, but like, what type of thing is that? Like to just want to tell somebody else or have other people share in it?
Right.
Because it's true. Like I think it is. Because like Al-Kain means like.
All right, help. I
kind
of
got
it.
But like we must have started off with a different feel of like first recognizing.
Right.
Yeah, and then I'll
right.
share it.
Right.
Like, it might be natural, but so
right.
why is that? We don't always include with a natural reaction in the tefillah.
Right, that's true. Okay.
You see it, like even in America, you know, this is a country that's like interested in seeing other countries be democratic and.
That we think we have something good and
yeah.
we have a love of humanity and we want to share it with other people.
Right.
I'm like, who cares
about
other countries?
Yeah, who cares about other countries?
Right.
Okay. So I think I think what you guys are saying is that the idea of, hi.
Hi.
No, you can, if you want to. Yeah, so the idea of God as the king, we realize that it's true. God is the king. And so far as it's true, who should recognize that? It's not a personal thing, the Jewish people. It's a little club that we have here that, you know, we want everybody, all the Jews, to recognize it. We realize the truth of God's existence is a fact in the universe. And the fact that the world doesn't know it and doesn't manifest it, it's like a distortion of truth. And we're drawn towards truth and towards the love of mankind. And saying is that God's truth is not just something that the Jews who decide to, you know, who are part of this religion should recognize. This is something everyone should recognize. And ultimately everyone will recognize it because it's true. And it's a lack in the state of the world now that we're in Galus and we don't have, you know, Chai Yisrael and Torah being recognized by at large. But when we think about Malchus Hashem, it's only natural to yearn towards that reality will be recognized by everybody. It's true, and the person yearns for that which is true to be recognized by all. something that they value and they appreciate that. If you found some good deal on something, you say, oh, let's tell everybody about it, whatever it is. And it's just natural for the fact that if you feel for other people and you have a discovery of something which is real and which is true, you share that with people. Akin to like a scientist who discovers some new way of looking at the world. He wants to share that with everybody. This is, you know, honestly, because of ego. And that's important. It's not because of ego. It's not like we want to be the guy of the nation. Everyone, that's the way we kind of think of it emotionally. Yeah, the whole world can recognize that we're the Jews. We had it all along. It's not, that's not it. It is, it's just, this is true. And insofar as it's true and we think about the reality of it, then it's natural to have a yearning for that. And if we don't have a yearning for that, that's our shortcoming. But we express that idea, and that draws us and teaches us the true idea. And then the idea of Rosh Hashanah is to bring us in line with high level true ideas. And insofar as we have these ideas in mind, then we'll have a favorable day, and it will raise our level, you know, to a higher plane.
So it's different a little bit than the discount thing, because that's more of an emotional thing.
Yeah, right, that's true. Well, it depends. The discount, there could be mixed feelings about it. Like, there could be a discount, you want other people to recognize you. Oh, yeah, right. No, but I mean, a discount is like, you feel like you really found something good, and you just want other people to have to partake of the good thing also. Not because you want them to say, oh, thank you, or anything like that. It's just, it's a good.
Right.
You just feel other people should know about this. I wish everyone, you know, it's like I had a fine. This is great, you know. So it's not because you want to get anything or you even want them to, you know, you just feel like they should know about this. It's unfortunate that they're throwing away their money in some other store or whatever. It's just, you know, different.
It's still an interesting thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The one who had this originally, the Ram talks about it, is by Avraham Avinu. That was Avraham Avinu's idea. That he went around. His Ram ties it to his Avas Hashem and to his Avas Abrias. His love of God, which we talked about a few weeks ago, is like a certain appreciation and a draw to know God and you know, an appreciation of God, and then a love of people. And based upon that, so if you have something good, then you know, man is a creature of God, and you want to share it with, you see people suffering or living a life where they're really in conflict and they're missing out on what's really good. Like, it's a good example. I think democracy is a good idea. It's like, in theory, a true, you know, American is not, doesn't want the world to be undemocratic just because we should all be Americans. It's because they really realize the great value in the thing. And, like, dictatorships, and this is corrupt, and this is, everyone's being, you know, tortured, and this and that, and this is a great thing. It's a great way to live, and therefore we should share with everybody. It's really good, and we love mankind, and we want, you know, an idealist would feel that. This is the good. This is, we found it. We found the good system, and we want to share it with the world. So there's a certain love of mankind that one would want to share it. But of course, there could be other emotions which would fuel that, is a certain selfishness. But that's not the idea here. It's not just the idea that, you know, give one to the Jews. It's not that. So within the idea of Malchios and the tefillah for Malchios, so I think one idea or one or two ideas emerge about shofar. Yes, go ahead.
I'm so confused about this. So why would we stand in the shul and talk about on Yom HaDin, about the nations of the world accepting Hashem as king? And to me, it's like, okay, we want the nations of the world to accept Hashem as king, but maybe we should be out setting an example, maybe we should be out, you know, trying to get the message out. Why would it help to sit in shul on Yom HaDin talking about how we want the nations of the world to accept Hashem as Melech?
Okay, good question.
And
I know.
And I still don't see how it's tied to the whole Yom HaDin.
Okay, someone want to answer that? You see, why are we sitting in shul doing it, and how's it tied to Yom HaDin? Okay.
I guess it would make more sense to, like, get out there.
Yeah.
Get out there. Okay.
Community service day.
Okay, but we still have tefillah. Like on the weekday, we could also, like, we pray for refillah, we then, like, we'll go to the doctor, we'll make sure we stay healthy and we eat right, but, like, that doesn't take away from the fact that there's designated times for tefillah.
Right. That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, tefillah is, it's true. We go out, that's part of the mitzvot and the ideas, yeah, there's maybe some example for humanity, and that's part of what the Torah is. But yeah, but there's also tefillah. And
so we're praying that Hashem should help the nations of the world to accept.
Yes. Yeah, Maloch al Kalolam, Uvachain Tain Papla. You should put your fear on the nations of the world. You should create a certain din and punish the evildoers and raise up the tzaddikim and set up a world order, which is, that's what we're praying for a world order, for God to bring about causes, chains of events, which will lead to the world at large recognizing what really they should recognize, and because of certain stumbling blocks, they're not recognizing. So we strive for that, and we know that will happen, Lasalavo. So given that we know that, when we think about it's like when we think about the idea of Melech, and maybe tie into the other thing, it's Yom HaDin. But a din naturally brings to mind the idea of a Melech. Right? A din, who's done, as a Melech has done, as the king judges. So that right away, before we even start thinking about din, we say, wait a second, the Melech. Think about the idea of Melech. God is a Melech of the Olam. And that brings us to think, wow, Malchus is, God is the Melech, but God should be the Melech, you know, should be recognized the Melech. And a very interesting thing I think is relevant is Rabbi wants to point it out, but it's from Adon Olam. It's like, you know, we don't really think about Adon Olam because, you know, we learned it when we were really little before we thought. But it's Adon Olam Hashem Alach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nevra. So it means he's the master of the world who is the Melech, who is Hashem Alach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nevra, before all was created. Right? He was the king before all was created. So he's, but then it says, so then the time will, then through his will everything will be a time where it will be done, and then then his name will be called a Melech. So he was a Melech prior. He's always a Melech. The term Klaytina, but before the creation God was a Melech. But now when Mashiach, there will be a time where he will be called a Melech. And the idea is that this is a very important idea about Malchus Hashem, is that a king, if you'd imagine a human king without a kingdom, it doesn't really make any sense. There's no such thing. A king is really a dependent. If there's no kingdom, what's a king? Right? Think of any king. Right? Or think of a president. Think of Barack Obama. Take away America, he's just a regular guy. Take away his countries, take away his underlings. What is he? What's a king? The greatest king in the world is nothing if he doesn't have a malucha. Before a kingdom, he's just the regular guy. He's a nothing. The whole idea of a king is like a relative position. He's raised up above other people. But it's saying is that God's melucha is, he's always a melech. It means that his melucha is because he exists and because he is the creator. He's the perfection of his existence. He's a melech. But what happens is when man, we're asking for the Zanach Shema Nikra, that man will recognize. When we think about the idea of Melech, and we think about Din, we think of a Melech. We think of a Melech, we think of, yeah, God's a Melech, but then we realize that the world doesn't manifest that. The world doesn't recognize that, and that bothers us. So then we request in Tefillah that will be loss of love. That's our striving. What is our ultimate striving? And this is part of what Tefillah does. It should raise us up to a higher level. Is not just, we forget for the time being about that we want to have a good life, or we want to have health, or we want to have, but we realize there's something greater than that, which is the world order and the recognition of the Melech is unfortunately not existent in the world at large. I mean, they have the Jews, some Jews, whatever, but at large, the world doesn't recognize it, so we're mispalel that will take place. And that raises us up. The fact that that's what we're concerned about and that's what we're thinking about, and we think about it and realize, internalize that this is what we are concerned about or should be concerned about, brings up our level. And that's a method of giving us the favorable din. It raises us up from our small-minded concerns. And our small-minded concerns are, look, there are concerns, and they're not nothing, but there are greater things to think about. You know, it kind of gives us a perspective, and that brings us up to a higher level. That's an idea in Rosh Hashanah. Hey, Alan, we good? Okay, questions? Someone else? Okay. So, in terms of Melech, so how does the shofar tie into Malchus? Okay, how does the shofar tie into Malchus?
According to Rashi, maybe it doesn't.
Okay, fine. But we blow shofar on Malchus also.
Oh.
Okay, I mean, we blow shofar. Shofar is incorporated in all the tefillos. Okay, and it's a good point. The Zichron Shua, according to Rashi, isn't mentioning that. But I think shofar is, there are ideas. I'm saying there are ideas about Melech, where shofar relates to Malchus. How so? Anyone think of any? Yeah.
I just did a story in school. It's not really a story. I think it's a
Stephen and the moths are 10 things you're supposed to think
of. Oh, okay, yeah. It's deciding on or something. Okay.
And it's like when you hear the shofar, I don't even think I really have a shofar. Should I test? But is, when you hear the shofar, you're supposed to think of the malchus, because at the time, like, you blow up the malchus and Hashem created the world, and like it's on, it's like the first day.
Okay. Okay, but what does the shofar have to do with that? What does the shofar have to do with that? Blowing
your horn. Sounds like royal trumpets.
Royal trumpets, right? There's an idea like that, is right? Just a thing in Dr. Seuss book of trumpets, King Darwin. But there's the idea of trumpets, right? I mean, we don't have it. I don't know if we have it nowadays. But if you imagine back, imagine a scene of a king coming through town. You blow these loud trumpets, and that like coronates the king, like loud trumpet sounds. That's just a thing which man does, but a sound is like a great powerful sound is a sound that brings to mind like the idea of a strong powerful malach. Okay, so that's one idea, and again the point of mitzvah, like in many mitzvahs, are to remind us of ideas. So every mitzvah, it's not like it's not just a symbolic thing that a shofar is a king, but it's to bring to mind concepts and ideas, which, you know, you may, it's one thing to talk about malachias, but then there are different actions and experiences that can move us, our emotions, and bring to mind the ideas in a more concrete way than just reading it in the Seder, you know, in the Masa. So the idea of a Malach is coronating the king in a loud blast is like that's what it brings to mind, a certain strength and a power, like a tekiah. You know, it's like that type of a thing.
And the shofaros will announce
Malach
HaMashiach.
Yes, right, shofaros will announce Malach HaMashiach. And Har Sinai was like a powerful blast. There's like a certain strength, and the sound of a shofar has a certain the blast. The blast is...
times of war also.
Times of war also. It's true. They did it in times of war. Why did they do that? I think that's to scare the enemies, right? Mm-hmm. That's to scare the enemies. Right, but it's kind of the thing that it makes you feel like you're powerful. It gives a certain sense of a power and a might, the shofar sound. That's why it scares them. So I don't think it's just like a lot of noise. I realize you're just blowing shofar. What does that do? Right, why does that scare anybody?
Did Yitzchak
also blow shofar? Yitzchak, you mean by the
Kedah?
Well, I don't know if he blew it. He brought the show the aisle. He shachted it and had the Rams one. Well, hopefully we'll get to that. Yeah, but that's I think we'll go if we get to Zichronos then. But, I'm going to try to keep the pace, so yeah, I'm not going to rush through this, so we'll get to what we get to. Yeah, so one other thing is we also have shofar in praising God. Like in Malchus, I guess, is in sense of praising God, expressing God's greatness. So there's another idea is that oftentimes you have most you have in the Mikdash, you have like musical instruments in the Mikdash, but you know you have in that last Hallelujah, you know, Hallelujah, it's like you're praising God with instruments. It's like talking about our praise of God using instruments, and it's like a funny idea when you're praising God using instruments. When we praise God using words, what are we just blowing a bunch of instruments, like how's that? You know, and that's one of the psukim we actually say in shofar. It's Halu Pesika Shofar. It's in shofaros, I think. It's one of the psukim. We say the Haluka, that's in there. If you remember, I'm not sure, or you'll notice it. So what's the idea of praising God using instruments? Using instruments. It's a funny way to praise, you know. It's almost like that whole thing is just talking about praising God using a bunch of instruments. Right? It's funny.
It's connected to that idea we discussed about Shira, that you're bringing in the emotional so that
right.
You can eventually get to the level
right.
Of Yira.
Right. That's true, right? That's what he said. And you're having the emotions and the music instruments move your emotions towards the Avodah Hashem. That's true.
And it's also the concept of like anything can be used towards Avodah Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person has artistic skills, if
right.
They're good at painting, if they're good at playing
right.
An instrument,
uh-huh.
If they're, you know,
right.
If they're Bezalel and he was good at, he was the architect of
right.
Mishkan because he had a certain skill, then he used it
right.
For Avodas Hashem.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, that's good. Someone else? So I think that's a good idea. But that's not the idea. I'm referring to another idea, but that's also true. Okay, and this idea which... I think this also, most ideas are ideas I've heard from Rabbi, so I'm not going to keep quoting him, but this is also from Rabbi, which is that there's an idea, there's an important idea in Shabbat Hashem, in praise of God, is that we say, one way we say, Miyamal Gvoras Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehillah. So, what does that mean? Who will express the greatness of God should say all of his greatness. Which means it's impossible. You can't say all his greatness, right? There's no end to a man expressing God's greatness. And really, anything we say is really falls far short. Right? Like the example of like a kid trying to praise an Einstein, you know, say you're good at plus or something, you know. The idea is like it's nothing. It falls short. And we, human beings, whatever we can express of God's greatness is nothing compared to the true reality of God. That's what we talked about, how Moshe is Anna, the greatest person, is the most humble person, because he realizes that everything he has and he knows is very, it's nothing in light of the big picture. So, and there's another thing we say, there's another pasuk, it says, L'cha dumia sehila, to you silence his praise. What does that mean, to you silence his praise? Praise of God is through silence. What do you think the idea on that is? How is silence praise?
It's like you're in awe. When you're in awe,
Yeah. You're
just silent.
Right, exactly. There's a certain realization. It's like we can't really say anything. Right? It's like ultimately, God is so great. Okay, which sounds, you know, but he's beyond that. We're really expressing it, and anything we say, we know is not going to be. You know, like someone really does something for you that, like, when it goes all out for you, it's like I can't even fat. Like just saying thank you, you just feel like it's not enough. It's not. There's nothing you could say, really, you know. But it like cheapens it just to say that, you know. Like I'll say it, but you know.
So words can't describe.
Yeah, words can't describe. Exactly, exactly. Words can't describe it. What are you gonna do? So that's like an idea of the chadim and sila means it's like there's a certain thing. It's like I'm speechless. There's a certain idea of being speechless. So the idea is that an idea of using instruments is like expressing that kind of an idea, which is that we want to say stuff and we want to sing out the praise of God, but we can't put it into words. Like there's like we'll play music and put instruments and whatever, but like the words fail us. You know, the shevach of God is infinite, and there's the words. Ultimately, what we say is falls short, and like a shofar is like all we can do is like make noise. It's like there's an idea expressed in that is like there's much more than we want to say. So it's like. It's like a praise without words. So it expresses the yearning to praise, but at the same time, it's like saying is like, I have nothing, words can't express what I mean. But you have to say something, so you know, so the idea there's an idea in the praise of a shofar, or of all the instruments. It's like a whole symphony of God's praises, but we can't really enunciate any proper words. So it brings to mind the idea of God's Malucha Malchus brings to mind the idea not just that God is great and the idea that we coronate God with the noise, but there's also an idea that it's like the praise without words, you know, without words to express it. So it brings that idea to mind, that especially important idea is when we're involved in Shabbat Hashem and Hashanah, we shouldn't fall into the trap of think that we're really saying great stuff and we're really praising God, and you know, we have to realize our inability to praise God. So we're doing it because it's important for us to focus on ideas, and if we don't do it, then what are we going to do? We're just going to sit around and watch TV or whatever. Like, it's important for us to think about God and to be able to express our ideas as best as we could about God, but at the same time we have to realize our inability to express the, you know, to express the truly valuable ideas. Okay, you with me? Question? Okay. Alrighty, so that's Malchus. Okay? I'm sure there's more ideas of Malchus, but there's a few ideas of Malchus. Now, Zichronos. So, Zichronos, we're talking about, like, the ideas, like, in certain sense, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance, which is basically an idea that, let's say, we'll talk about then. So it's an idea that we are remembered before God, or we're striving that our existence should be on a high level before God. Okay, and we know that God is. We talk about Atta Zocheh, that God knows all, And God's aware of all the actions that man does, and God judges the actions. The talk about the din is comes in the end of Chanos. Whatever God remembers, whatever man does, God, all of man's actions come before God. And that's important. God isn't just a melech who created the world and left it, or is too grand for it to take heed of man's actions, as some philosophers held, but God knows everything, and he knows what we do, and he knows our thoughts, and he knows our actions, and it makes a difference. Our existence is real before God, and if we're living a certain level, depending on our level, we have a greater or lesser existence before God, and we have a greater or lesser then. So the idea of Zichronos brings to mind, not just, again, interestingly, not just say, God remember us, but we talk about God as the all-knowing, and think about ideas about God as the knower. Now, but there's an idea of din also. And I think it's an important idea. I mean, just to digress a little bit, but there is a reality of Yom HaDin. Okay? Which means, does not mean that God is in time. And that God, so to speak, you know, gets up on Rosh Hashanah and says, I'm going to judge the Jewish people. Because God doesn't exist. He doesn't have a calendar. And he's all knowing. And he always knows our state of our existence. But the idea is that, and this is a good example of it, is like, if you'd imagine like a teacher. So a teacher has a job, you know, and they're judged by the principal, let's say, to see how good they're going to be and whether they're going to get the job next year or whatever it is, you know, it could be a teacher, it could be anyone. So there's an idea, is how does the teacher judge? So does the principal sit in the class every single day and say, oh, good job, bad job, good job, bad job? That's not usually how it goes, right? This idea is like once a year, there's like an evaluation, and the principal comes in and judges the teacher, and based upon how they did that one time of the year, they kind of give their judgment for the next year. They get the job, they don't get the job, right? Now, does the teacher like that? Would the teacher rather be judged that one time, or would the teacher rather a day by day judging? What do you think?
Depends on the teacher.
Depends on the teacher, okay. Okay.
Be pretty nerve wracking to have the principal sit in on every single class.
Okay, nerve wracking. True. Mm-hmm. True. And which lesson is going to be the is that going to be a good lesson? That one lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because
she knows. She knows the principal is coming that day. It's a one time thing where she focuses all her attention on preparing that lesson and, you know, doing the best and really, and the judgment is going to be on that one. That day will be, so pack it all in, and the best, you know, of course you can mess up, whatever, but there's an idea, like, that's you're focused, this is it, and the judgment is going to be based upon that, and that's good. A teacher would like that kind of a thing. Sarah, you're right.
I mean, it's possible, though, that it could get to the point where it'd be normal every day, that everyone's well there, and if it were to be that one day, there could be, like, the type of teacher is actually a really good teacher,
right.
That one day that the principal's there, she gets really stressed
and she can't. That's true. You could have a situation like that. But in general, like, the point is also, it's like, if the teacher every day, like, every time they mess up, then the principal's going to get on their back. It just, there's an idea of, like, the judgment. It's good to have a judgment, which is based upon the overall state of the person, pinpointed in a certain time where they could focus on getting it good. And that's an idea of a Yom HaDin, like Rosh Hashanah, which is that, if God judged the person every single day, so that you slip up, that's a punishment, or, you know, your fate would, or your din would be determined based upon every day to day, how your level is at every day, then there can be days you can't be on your top behavior, so to speak, every day. A person doesn't like that. There's a person that slip ups, and, you know, but there's an idea of the Yom HaDin, of Rosh Hashanah, of a time period, time of the year where we focus our energies on in Elul and then on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Aser Yisrael and Teshuvah, on ideas about God, of Malchus Hashem, of all the different ideas of the Sfaros, Shofaros, and of Yom Kippur and of Yichud Hashem, whatever ideas, but it's a focus on personal growth, personal perfection, ideas about God. And in that state is the state where it's best for man to be judged. And it's Chesed Hashem that he gives us a time where our fate for this coming year is based upon, is set up, and factors are set into motion based upon our level on Yom HaDin. There's a reality to that, and is, so to speak, a person can't wake up the day after Yom Kippur and say, okay, now I'm doing tshuva today. I mean, there is such a thing as tshuva, and there's such a thing as, like, there's such a thing as, because I'll talk about how you could be Korea, you're Gzardin, and there's such a thing. Nothing's like set in stone. God can't change it. God can always change things. But there is a phenomenon of death. Now is the time. There's a window, so to speak. And there is a time where there is a determination of your what's going to happen to you, so to speak. Are you going to get the job for next year? How are you going to do now? Now is the time. Don't just say, oh, whatever, it's not a rolling din. It is not rolling din. We have it's a calendar. For man's benefit, that's why it says, Derech Shu Hashem Behimatzah. So Pazuk says, you should seek out God when he is found. And he's found, because I'll say it means during your Sarsim Echuba, because this is the time of din. So this person should have a focus, and it's important to wake up at this time. And even if we're not especially vigilant or especially introspective or whatever it is that we feel we're not especially so, the other times of the year there is a phenomenon of Rosh Hashanah and a phenomenon of Yom Kippur and a phenomenon of Yom Adem. So it's important to sometimes we could forget about that or not realize it or kind of let it slip by us. But it's not just words; we're not just saying there's a reality to them. It's a better time to do tshuva now. It'll be easier for your tshuva to be accepted and for your din to be affected based upon, And that brings to mind the idea of Zikaron, that we're misfollow, that we will have a favorable existence and God will remember us favorably and positively. That's an idea of Zikaronos. Now, in Shofar, we talk about one model. What brings us a Zikaron? Someone mentioned, how does Shofar bring us Zikaron? Let's talk about that. How does Shofar bring us Zikaron and bring us a favorable, how does it help us, so to speak?
Reminds us of Akedah Yitzchak.
Okay, good. And what's so important about Akedah Yitzchak? Why is that so important? That's what Shofar, right? Sabina mentions like the aisle and the shofar, it's true that Avram shechted the ram and his ram's horn and ram's horn, ram. But why is that so important? I mean, Akedah Yitzchak is one event in history, but what's so significant about that? Right, why is that so prominent? Yeah.
And Yitzchak, I think, knew what was going on.
Yes.
And he was willing to give himself to Hashem.
Right.
Like, we should take that idea and be able to give ourselves to Hashem and to work hard to be.
Okay, good. Good. Someone else?
So Avraham was the first person to recognize Hashem
and
to want to spread it to all the nations. And then when he was tested in such a way, he still had such Amun and Bitachon, that even the thing that was most precious to him, his son, he was willing to give up for the ideas that he believed in.
Excellent. Okay, we say in Tefillah, I think the main phrase, I think, is it says it's in Zichronos where we talk about Yetekedes Yitzchak, and it talks about Yitzchak. It says the Kavash Rachamav Lasas Ritzon Chabalev Shalim. Okay, it says God, you should remember before us that Avraham was Kavash Rachamav. He conquered his Rachamim, his mercy, to do your will with a full heart. Okay, he conquered his mercy to do your will with a full heart.
Conquered whose mercy?
Avraham conquered his own mercy. His merciful, his emotions of mercy, which are good emotions. It's a good to feel merciful, right? Mercy is a good, right? I don't want to kill people. I don't want to slaughter people. I love people, right? That kind of thing. In general, that's good, right? I mean, this is the emotion he was struggling with. He felt merciful. He felt like he loved his kid. I mean, what those are positive emotions, right? But he then strong, very strong emotions. But he was willing to conquer those in order to do God's will, which means it's an interesting study in its own right. Like it is Yitzchak, but the punchline is that Avodas Hashem has to take precedence over the strongest, every emotion, and the strongest of all emotions, but certainly other, other lesser things. But this is like a good, positive love of your son, Yitzchak, great. But bottom line is that he says, look, this is the tzivui from Hashem, and he was willing to totally go against his own internal wishes and, good, well-founded wishes, because of his recognized tzivah Hashem. So the fact that we remember Akedah Yitzchak, and that we emulate or learn the lesson of Akedah Yitzchak, which is that we have to subordinate all of our feelings and our wishes to our Avodas Hashem, the remembering of that ideal and the model of Avraham Avinu is something which helps us do tshuva and think about what we should strive towards. And so far as we do that, we're in a spot that will have a favorable day because we emulate. He's our av. These are our avos. And Yitzchak also, as Sarah mentioned, Yitzchak also was willing to. It's a question how old Yitzchak was, but you know, he was also willing to be involved in the thing. So the idea is that an important idea in Zichronos is the realization that our zikaron comes through subordinating ourselves totally towards the Avodas Hashem. And the ayel, the shofar, brings to mind the Kedus Yitzchak, and we mentioned the tefillah. But that's the idea, is it's through Avodas Hashem, which through Kavash Rachamav, that idea is how we have a favorable day. Yes?
Okay,
Bena.
Total side point.
Yeah.
But Abraham, destroyed all the idols, right?
Yes.
Like all Avodah Zarah. So, but wasn't like human sacrifice Avodah Zarah?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't like.
Good question. I'm gonna pass though. Okay, it's a good question. Excellent question, but a total side point. Even though I'm doing side points, but that's total side point. But it's a good, excellent question. Okay, I know it's very related. That's why I kind of said it's an interesting question in its own right because I know it's hard to talk about Akedah and. You know, not just think of all these questions because it's a difficult event to study, you know. But I think we're just going to lose track of Yom Kippur, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you know. So the punchline, though, is that it's a tzivut from Hashem, and he had strong emotions not to do it, but he did it because of his, you know. So maybe we'll take that up at some point, okay? But it's a good question. Okay, or you can think about it also. Okay? Yeah. Okay, good. Now, what else? What else about the shofar? So there's another thing, which a few other ideas, but
can
go ahead.
Another question.
Uh-huh. Sure.
We're supposed to emulate Abraham, but Abraham had a direct line to Hashem, where Hashem was talking to him and
yes.
giving him actual commandments
right.
of what to do in his life. And so I feel like the world that we live in, Hashem is much more hidden from us, and we don't have Hashem telling us
okay.
this is what you should do.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, like, how are we practically
right.
supposed to
okay.
take that
okay.
On Rosh Hashanah,
right.
when it's
right.
a time of personal growth, right?
Right?
But Hashem is hidden from us, so
okay.
how are we supposed to really
okay.
follow the ways of Abraham and do
I hear you. Someone answer that?
I mean, we see things that happen in the world, like, you know, maybe Abraham knew for sure that it was a tzivui from Hashem, so he knew that Hashem has a certain plan for Yitzchak.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Hashem knows what
right.
what the world to come will be for
right.
Yitzchak, and Abraham doesn't know what the world
right.
to come will be for Yitzchak, so he just had to follow Hashem's tzivui.
Right.
But we see things happening in our lives, and we don't even have the glimpse that
right.
Abraham had.
Okay.
Like,
I hear you.
Like Abram at least knew that it was definitely Hashem's plan.
Okay.
We
right.
we're like so mixed up in
right,
our worlds that.
Do we have God telling us what to do ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the mitzvah.
Right. We've got a lot of things. Right. I mean,
like,
Abram didn't have the mitzvahs. So he just had this. But God.
Like, can never like we can't be as great as Abram with like the navi telling like being a navi, but like Abram never like be at that level. I mean, I won't. But, like, we do have, like even, like, minor things to work on. At least we have, like, the mitzvot. I mean, I don't know.
Right, that's a good answer, no? I mean, we have plenty of things that God told us to do, and we know that it's true. I mean, Avram knew it because God told him in the Nevuah, but we know it's true because we know our Sinai is true. And we have plenty of things that we know God told us to do, and we have to step up to the plate, and, you know. So it seems to be, you know, we could say God isn't talking to us in our ear, but I mean, he is. I mean, he did Sinai. He doesn't have to talk to every single person in their ear. If we were Avram, maybe he would, but we have Sinai. And he didn't have Sinai. He didn't have the benefit of Sinai, but that was the idea, and that's one idea on show for us, is that God, it's unbelievable, but this great God of the universe revealed himself to man. And that's Zlatan Iglesias, so that's the idea of show for us, is like revelation. It's astounding, but he did. He didn't just leave it for individual isolated philosophers to Avraham Avinu to figure out certain things and to have Nevuah. But God had a mass revelation to mankind, gave us a way to live, showed us, this is it, here it is, this is it. And we have to step up to that, and we have to be able to, you know, to be willing to conquer our different feelings and our different emotions based upon the civilization of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Like, what does that mean, like, Zichrono, like, we're so we're being remembered, like.
Yeah.
I just don't get how that. I mean, like, it sounds like a natural deduction from, like, the Machlios. Like, okay, we recognize how limited we are in our scope, so that might help us to, like, recognize that, like, the mitzvot, like, we should, like something that Avram did. Like, he trusted in his emotion of mercy, and he, like, thought he knew this whole plan about, like, Yitzhak, and then, like, because, I guess, like, I'm saying he recognized that, okay, he must be limited, and,
right.
like, the tzivoy is there, so he had to do that. But, like, I don't get how that's, like, a zikaron. Like, I don't get how the zikaron works.
Right. Well, I think it's that we said God remembers us. Like, we said, we should be remembered Latova. That's an idea. It's like, it means that, of course, God remembers us always. It doesn't mean God forgets us, but it means that God remembers us. It means that we exist positively, where God, you know, validates our existence as being true and in line with a good, you know, a good existence. So it means the way we do that is through our living a life of ideas and a life where we're related to God. So then God relates to us and he endorses our existence as being, you know, of worth and being the proper existence suitable for a man, and we have a proper din based upon that.
So, but then why can't you say, okay, I reflect on the ideas of Malchios and that'll give me the Zikaron?
Right. Like, it's true, but I think there's an important idea in Zichronos, or in this idea, which is that ideas are good. Malchios, they're high ideas, but we have to, our life has to be a life of ideas, and we have to incorporate it into our actions, and it's not enough to just think about high ideas, but then to live differently. But the idea is that what we do, we're people, and we have actions, and we have emotions, mm-hmm. and those actions and emotions have to become brought into, in line with our knowledge. So we recognize Malchios, that's true, that's the highest ideas, but at the same time, we can't recognize Malchios and then go and eat pig. You know, or whatever it is that we're going to do, you know, so we have to do it. So we have to now act that idea. God's the Melech, so are we acting like God's the Melech? We can't say God's the Melech, but I'm going to do my own thing.
Mm.
Don't bother me, I want to do my veras, you know, just my few things or whatever. So the idea is that the Malchios is, when we realize the Malchios in our lives through following the model of Avraham Avinu, that's what brings us the proper din and proper zikaron finishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, just one other thought. I don't really have time to focus on it, but I'm just referencing you to the Rambam has a point, is that the shofar is also like a remez to it's like a wake up call. It's like an alarming sound. It's the Rambam and Tshuva, Gimel Dalet. But it's like an idea. There's an idea that we fall asleep in our lives. It's a mashal, but it's where we oftentimes fall asleep and we get lulled into our own world and our own value system and our own ways we spend our time and our energies, and we lose sight of what's really important and what we should really be, you know, spending our time on. And sometimes it's just we just forget. We just get, you know, we go with the flow, and it's like we're asleep, so to speak. We forget. We fall asleep. We forget to focus, and we forget to, you know, to think about what's really significant and important. And the shofar, it's like the Rambam says, "Uru uru yishena mishinasan, wake up, sleepy one, it's on your slumber." And the shofar, the blast of the shofar, could have that effect. It could remind. It hits us emotionally. There's a power of the shofar and the sound of the shofar that it just brings to mind. It's like an alarm. You know, there should be an alarm. There should be an internal thinking. Wait a second. You have to be, you know, you should be shaken from your. So sometimes you just need that. You just need to take a step. You know, to realize. If they just need to refocus, you know, like some people have some, you know, tragic event which can happen in their life, which kind of wakes them up and reminds them what's really important in life. And sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily need a tragic event. One idea in the midst of shofar is that it should remind us of that. The alarm, the sound, is something which could bring that concept to mind. And that's part of the zikaron, is the tshuva. So shofar is part of the beginning of sesame tshuva, but it should arouse us to do tshuva. Tshuva is a process, and it takes time, and it's not an instantaneous thing. But we have to be put in a mindset of tshuva. And the shofar, another idea in shofar is that it brings that, you know, puts us in that mindset, in the mindset of tshuva. Question.
Back to Dear Shua Hashem.
Yeah.
So, Does that mean we should literally ask for din? Like, is it's back to the mushel of the teacher and the principal? Is that like we should always ask for an evaluation of what we're, you know, what level we're at?
I think it means that we should seek out God. I don't think seek out means ask Him for something. I think it means that we should seek Him out. It means we should do tshuva. We should try to get to a state where we're approaching God, and this is the best time to do it, when He's found. It means when He's in din.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean He's in din, but when our din is being determined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like God changes and God is sitting there in din, but our din is determined based upon our level of the on this day,
mm-hmm.
and this week, and this Yasmeh. So that's the time which we should seek out God. He's found. He's ready. The books are open. It's a mushel. The books are open. There's no books. But it means the fate is being sealed based upon our level. Now's the time where we should seek out God, where we should strive, raise ourselves to the level of the ideas of, Malchus, of Avod Hashem, of the Kedus Yitzchak of Tshuva. You know, now's the best time because He's found. You could actually make an impact on the din before the books are closed. Afterwards, it's a much harder type of a thing. He's not around. The king isn't present. He's not available. He's not there judging. You have to go find him, so to speak. It's a mushel, but you have to, you know. So that's what I mean. Seek him out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay, so Adam, perhaps next week, maybe we could continue. There are other ideas. I mean, it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah anymore, but Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are so tied together. So I don't know. Maybe we'll continue. There are other ideas in Shofar and in Tshuva. I don't know. We'll see. See what we'll do. But okay, you should have a Ksivah Simatova, and hopefully it'll be really be productive in terms of these ideas and other ideas on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. You got it.